What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 4 of Art Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight. It is Monday, September 18th, 2017, and I just got back from an absolute amazing weekend. Saturday was the Monroe Comic Con. I was there with Podcast Detroit. We had a booth that was 3 tables wide. We were broadcasting all day. It was a lot of fun. We got to meet a lot of people and kind of network and spread the word about what Podcast Detroit is about and what Art Junkies is about and what Art Junkies is actually trying to do. Along with Bob and Dave from the IT and the D show, we also got to record a couple episodes of The Worst Meatball Sandwich Ever. This is a podcast in which we read Yelp reviews and then make fun of the people for reading Yelp reviews. It's a lot of fun, so go check out Worst Meatball Sandwich Ever. Also, if you follow the Art Junkies page, you saw that I got married on Sunday. We just did a little service, nothing super huge. Me and my wife, we went down to this little park in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, right on a bridge over the water, and we got married. And, you know, just some family, and then we all went out to IHOP afterwards, and then me and my wife are now planning a trip to the Bahamas in the very near future. Unfortunately, we couldn't take it right now because I'm absolutely swamped at work on a huge job, and we are unable to just take off, but the Bahamas is in our very near future. And thank you to everybody that said congratulations on Instagram. Your support is extremely appreciated. From both of us, thank you very much. Moving on to our guests this week, we are traveling all the way to Colorado. We're talking to Dawn from Southern Colorado Hats, who happens to make the most fantastic welding caps that you could possibly have, at least in my opinion. I've worn quite a few. I haven't worn them all, but I have worn quite a few. And this one, especially the one she custom made me, you can go on my Instagram and you can see the one that was made for Arc Junkies by Southern Colorado Hats. It's absolutely fantastic. Just a beautiful masterpiece. And I literally wear it every couple days. I got to wash it, but I wear it as much as possible. It is so extremely comfortable. And Dawn is an absolute sweetheart, and she is really, really, really driven in what she's doing with Southern Colorado Hats, as you are going to find out in this interview that I do with her. A little later on, we're going to be talking to Dabs Wellington. Sean Floatman, aka Dabs Wellington, is one of the most talented guys you will find on Instagram. The artwork that he is doing with welding and TIG welding on stainless steel is absolutely amazing. A lot of guys are doing this on Instagram, but Dabs Wellington is doing it the Dabs Wellington way. But before we get into those interviews, I need to tell you about our sponsors, Weld Devils. Go to welddevils.com for welder-inspired merch and connect with welders all across the globe. Welddevils.com. We are devils. FabTech is happening November 6th through 9th in Chicago. I just dropped a ton of money to go to this thing. I dropped over $1,000. I registered for a couple classes. I'm going Monday and Tuesday. I'm actually really excited to be going to this. This is my first ever FabTech. But to get you guys excited for this, the whole month of October, I'm going to be doing what I'm calling the Road to FabTech, where I'm going to be featuring either a vendor or some kind of guest or something to do with FabTech, getting you pumped up for FabTech November 6th through 9th in Chicago. Just to give you a little example of what I'll be doing, Monday, October 2nd, I will be dropping an episode featuring FabTech's Monday night keynote speaker, History Channel's own Adam Janai from Detroit Steel on the History Channel. I have that plan plus so much more, but you're going to have to wait till October. But until then, let me get back to our guests this week. First up is Don from Southern Colorado Hats. Start the show. When did you kind of get the idea to start your own thing with this? I know we had talked before and you said that you were in the Carpenters Union and you just decided that wasn't your thing and you wanted to move on and kind of follow your dream. But how did that turn into making welding caps and welding gear?
Well, I had been making them for myself working on the job sites because I wanted the girly patterns. I didn't want to wear the guy caps. So I was making them for myself. And I started getting requests every day of, where'd you get your hat? And I would say, I made it. And so guys would start asking me, hey, will you make me some? So I would go home after work, usually 10 hours a day, and then a 2-hour drive, go home, make 2 or 3 hats, take them in the next day, sell them to the guys. By the time I had saved, I had saved about $30,000 and told myself, you know what, I think this is a viable business. I had so many people requesting, because then it was not even the job site. Then it was people from across the country asking me, you know, saying, hey, I saw this hat. Someone said you made it. Can I get one? So I figured I'd give myself 1 year with my savings to see if I could support myself on that. So that's kind of how it all got started.
So you kind of just, you went out on a limb. You're like, all right, I got some money saved up. I got this idea. I got the belief in this. People are responsive to it. And you just went for it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, come on. You got to pat yourself on the back a little bit. That takes some balls. Figurative, metaphorical balls.
It's not the way I would recommend it. So now I'm almost in my fifth year. Definitely would not recommend that. I'm a pretty proud person. I feel like if I think I can do it, I can do it. And the only way I'm going to know I can't do it is if I try first. So I just said, I'm going to try this for a year. I'm going to see if I can do it.
So now how is the progress, how has the progress gone with this? I mean, you know, obviously you've grown into something that's one of the most recognizable brands as far as welding gear out there with that little special touch. That's the thing I really like about it. Like, I have one of your caps, and I mean, no, not trying to blow smoke up your ass or anything. Like, it is one of the greatest caps I've ever used in my life. I'm not overheated when I use it. It doesn't stick to my head for no reason. Like, it works perfectly. I love it.
You know, I really appreciate that. I get lots of feedback because I know a lot of welders, because I've worked for about 10 years in the construction field.
Uh-huh.
So when I first started, I gave out free samples and said, give me your feedback. No different than we're doing with these shirts that we're doing, giving out some free samples, saying, wear it on the job. Tell me where, you know, where can we change this? Where can we make this better? And so when I first started, it's been a long, long journey. Like, this is the first time in this entire process that we've had a single cap that was not spoken for at the shop. That's probably
fantastic.
5,000 caps sitting in our shop. The dozen ladies, I finally had to learn to be harder than I was. I was way too soft. I would let people make mistakes after mistakes after mistakes and keep them and pay them for it. So it was just killing me. So the first few years were a lot of learning experience and a lot of me having to do 90% of the work by myself, because I just paid someone to do it. They messed it up. It's got to go out. Now I have to do it myself. So we found this group of ladies. There's about 12 of them, and they're awesome. They're awesome. So it took me about 6 weeks to tune them in as to not making mistakes, but they were making, in our shop, we're making about 1600 hots a week. And that's just, to me, it's so amazing, because 6 weeks ago, I didn't have 50 hats in that shop.
And then now, boom.
Yes. Now we're looking for companies of, hey, who wants to carry some caps? In fact, we're in the middle of a deal with Praxair. They're going to carry us.
Oh, that's
and
fantastic.
They're even larger than Boot Barn.
So touching back on what you said about how, you know, you had to become tougher. You know, we had talked about this subject a little bit with a previous guest, Russell Holmes from Garage Rehab on Discovery Channel. And he had mentioned that, you know, he noticed that so many different owners of shops, you know, really struggled with letting people go because, you know, they were just loyal to their employees almost to a fault. And now, mm-hmm. you know, when you're saying that you had to kind of like harden yourself, you know, to deal with this. I mean, obviously that really kind of changed your whole character as a businesswoman and benefited you in the long run.
Yeah. It took me realizing that I would let people stay on for 3 months and they would not make it 10 usable products, but I felt bad. I'm like, she's 65. I don't want to let her go. But then I realized, but she's getting a paycheck at the end of the week and I am not.
Right.
So it can't be that way. So now it's one day. You get one day to come in. If you're a seamstress and you consider yourself a seamstress, you get one day to come in, get my undivided attention. I'll show you what we're doing. You show me you can do it. And I tell them all, it's a 6-panel hat. And I leave the blank word out. But for blank's sake, it's mm-hmm. a 6-panel hat. We're not making jackets. We're not making pants. We're not making, you know, purses. It's a 6-panel hat. If you can't do it in one day, then I'm not going to consider you a seamstress.
It's almost like that journey you have to go through as a business person to separate the whole, friendship and feelings from business and profit.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
it is
really, really. And I mean, now that, you know, that's actually happened, do you feel that that's clarified you, as far as pointed you in another direction, in other words, for better decision-making in other aspects of your business?
It definitely has. So I've learned some checks and balances of, if we're going to try a new product, I'm going to give it this much time. If it doesn't work, we're going to move on to something else. I'm not going to keep going and going and going, because that was something I thought of, or it was a baby that I thought I could nurture into something. If it doesn't work within this amount of time, you got to let it go and you got to move on.
So let's pull back a little bit, because you had mentioned to me that you were in the Carpenters Union. Let's go back into that. Like, how did your journey into the Carpenters Union begin?
Like I said, I grew up in Michigan. We grew up southwest corner, right there on the beach.
All right.
And so my dad and my grandfather and my uncles, they all owned construction companies, building custom homes, building on the beach. Decks on the beach, custom decks for all those rich people that live down there.
Right.
And so that's where I started. About 12 years old, I started using power tools and that kind of thing. And that's when I learned that I have the love to create. Like, I love to take raw material and sit back later and say, I made that. You know, it was just a piece of wood before. Now look what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I've pretty much done construction on and off my whole life. I joined the union back in 2002, I want to say. And have worked locally just here in Colorado, mainly in Pueblo. I love that. I love that kind of work, but it kills your body. It's hard on you. So I knew, especially as a woman and being a little bit on the proud side, I would always end up hurting myself, because I would want to prove that if they could do it, I could do it too, kind of thing. And so I knew that I was going to get out. I just wasn't sure. I was just kind of asking God to show me the right direction of where I should go if I want to get out of this. And that's where I ended up with this.
Did you feel that it was harder for you in the Carpenters Union because you were a woman?
I actually don't. The way I feel, and people might take this as a bash, women can get away with anything in the construction field as far as I'm concerned. You can be a great craftsperson and people look up to you and admire you. But also there's a lot of women in the field who drag women down. They feel that when they come on, they don't really have to do their job because they are a woman. Mm-hmm. And so they can actually get away with walking around smoking a cigarette while everybody else is actually working. So I feel that I did a very good job. I have very good work ethic, and I love all women who have, and men, but who have good work ethic, who get out there and they work because they know that they're there for a job. You know, they're not there for a paycheck. They're there for a job, which is how you get your paycheck. Just walking around a job site should not get you a paycheck, especially if you just have boobs.
You know, this is why you're doing so well in business. You have such a no bullshit attitude about you. I love that. I truly do. This is awesome. Back into Southern Colorado hats. Now that things are moving, what are some of the things that your company offers to the welding community?
Right now we have the hats. We just rolled out a line of children's clothing and children's hats. We have the welding shirts. We have Made in the USA hoodies being made. We're going to eventually move into t-shirts that we'll be making here. I've been working on a prototype for a welding hood bag for over a year. I just don't have a whole lot of time. Well, someone kind of sparked my interest the other day, and he's like, hey, do you guys have hood bags? And I was like, you know what? I've been thinking about that for a while. I've got a good idea. It's a rucksack type bag. Because I know working on job sites, especially the bigger ones, when you have to badge in and badge out.
Oh, yeah.
You have no free hands. So you don't want a hard-sided bag. You don't want something. So my idea was a rucksack, kind of like military uses, where you just throw it over one shoulder. It expands by just picking it up the top. It expands to have more stuff in it, or it rolls down and tightens down with the snaps to if you only have just your hood in there. But I know a lot of people take their hood in and out. Those hoods mean something to those guys. And so I'm working on that. That would be customizable, flame retardant, have canvas on the outside, and a hard bottom. So that's another thing that we're working on. Plus, now that winter's coming up, we're going to start doing some flannel-lined caps for guys that are working in the cold areas, as well as we'll do some stocking caps probably here too, and give that a try, see how that goes.
So what were some of the things you kind of did to help grow your company? Did you use social media to your advantage to help kind of get your word out there? And if so, what were some of the tactics that you used to help get the brand of Southern Colorado Hats noticed?
So social media has been totally it. It's social media and word of mouth, and it's almost 90% Instagram. I don't really use Facebook very much. I have a page on there, but I don't really use it. So it's been 99% Instagram and word of mouth.
before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find you and where they can order all of your products and where they can see everything.
Our website is www.socohats.com. You can always email me at customerservice@socohats.com. We actually have about 3,000 hats in back stock that if anyone asks, hey, can you send me a picture of what you have in 7 1/4 in your back stock? I'll take the time to stop and send them a picture and let them pick their own. I want those 10 or I want those 5. Saves me time from having to list them on the site, and it lets them pick exactly what they want.
Awesome. Don, thank you so much for calling in. It was awesome to talk to you. And we'll be promoting the hell out of Southern Colorado hats and everything that you guys make.
Thank you.
All right, my next guest is Dabs Wellington. You have no doubt seen Sean Floatman's artwork all over Instagram. Without further ado, let me introduce you to Dabs Wellington. I had to reach out to you, though, dude, because your account here on Instagram, you're killing it with these plates, dude.
Thank you.
Is this stainless?
All stainless. And it's, I don't know, anywhere from 12 to 16 gauge, just depending on the color that I'm after or really what I can fish out of the scrap bin.
Right on. And like, how do you, what do you get these laser etched on there? The designs, your outlines?
No, that's all just hand dremeled.
What?
Yeah.
Really? That makes it even more interesting, man. That's amazing. Okay. So let's pull back a little bit, because like I'm gonna get ahead of myself with the plate stuff, and I don't want that to be the main focal point of this interview. I want to kind of pull back to, you know, your whole start into welding. Like what first got you drawn into welding?
I fell into it. I actually started as a temporary at a metal shop about 20 minutes from where I grew up, and I learned grinding, polishing, and basically being a helper.
And how long ago did you say this was that you first started doing this?
That would have been in 2000.
2000. Wow. Okay. All right. So you've been in the game a while now.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. So yeah, go ahead. Continue. You were starting with grinding and stuff.
And then I remember the hot dog welder at the shop was named Jay Marsh. And I remember the first time I saw him, get a nice blue color on a weld. And I was hooked from then on. Learned to do repair work, all the grunt work that none of the other welders wanted to fix, predominantly on mirror finish stuff. And then once I did enough of that repair work, I got good enough with the TIG that I worked myself into a position there of getting my own table, and then did that for a while. And then unfortunately worked myself into management there and got really burnt out on welding for a while. Production work, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then just over the last couple of years at my new employer, Instagram and everything kind of relit the creative fire. And I've been having a lot of fun with it lately.
So, I mean, did the transfer from welding to the welding art kind of come naturally for you? Were you an artist before you were a welder?
I was more of a tinkerer. I really liked just making, you know, little sculptures and different stuff, a lot of stuff for family, you know, different Christmas stuff. And just, you know, I like seeing other people's work, deconstructing it and just figuring out what's going on. Gosh, when I started really researching on Instagram and stuff, of course I saw, you know, Aaron Nexus's stuff, Josh Welton, Welder Assassin, you know, I mean, he's basically like the OG of it. So,
oh yeah.
You know, I really just started trying to figure out how it was done. And like I said, it really reignited a passion in welding, you know, that from years of production had basically gone to the wayside.
Right. That's the one thing about production welding. I mean, sometimes it's that thing that you kind of have to fall into or back into to pay the bills at certain points in your career. You know, you don't always get the nice cake aluminum jobs where you get to sit down in the air conditioning with the ventilated system above you and you know, just kind of go to town. Sometimes you got to pump out the parts.
A lot of hours in a sweatshop.
Yeah. Lots and lots of hours in the sweatshop. It's mostly that. Yeah. So is there a pattern? Is there a certain pattern you go about these? Because like I know when a tattoo artist approaches this, like they usually go from, you know, the bottom up on these designs. Do you kind of have to follow that to keep your heat control? Do you jump around? I mean, what do you kind of do for that?
It depends. I mean, obviously you want to work back to front like you were painting.
Mm-hmm.
Cause then you can hide your starts and stops and all your different lines. And then, a lot of them I'll do coloring and shading first and then overlay, you know, the predominant, more colorful lines on top of those. So, I mean, there's, you know, times where I'll have a couple different ones, cause I jump around from ideas, quite erratically, you know.
Right.
It's hard to stay focused on one certain thing. I don't know, ADD, whatever you want to call it.
Hey, dude, I have it too, man. I totally get it. I totally get it. So when you're shading, is it like your space between the tip of your tungsten and the actual base metal? Is that how you're kind of getting the color variances?
Argon flow, and then some of the shading I use. I've got an older Lincoln that I use, mm-hmm. so the pulse settings on it are pretty primitive, but it works pretty good. And then really it's just, you know, I use a very, very large heat sink behind them. So, I mean, it's really just been a trial and error. There were a lot of junk test plates thrown away in the beginning.
Oh, I bet. Well, I mean,
there's a number of them that I had etched out and done that, I want to go back to, but I'm not comfortable enough yet. Like there were a couple Captain Spaulding ones I done. I've thrown every one of those away.
Like I'm asking because it's like, I look at the stuff you're doing and I'm like, man, it's almost like wizardry at some point, because you're like, how does he control it so well at those points and be able to just, you know, every time so consistently do that? And, you know, as you're saying it, it still kind of makes sense. But at the same time, I'm like, wow, that's just, yeah, you're right. That's a lot of trial and error, a lot of time, a lot of time,
a lot of error to begin with.
So let's talk about the kind of gear that you're using. I see you're posting a lot of stuff about this Aesop Sentinel. Are you rocking that right now?
No. That was just I was having a lot of fun with Scott in that giveaway, and okay. I was I'd love to try one out. I'm not gonna lie, it's a pretty hot hood.
Oh, I know, but, man, it's everywhere right now.
But that was mainly me just having a little fun with it. But my hood now that I use is a Miller Digital Infinity.
That's what I got, man.
Yeah, and I mean it's like, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's a killer hood. And before that, I used it was the SL. Gosh, I can't remember the exact model number, but the Speed Glass.
Oh, the 3M Speed Glass.
Yeah, 3M Speedglass SL, the super light one. I mean, it was great. I just had it for, you know, 7 years, and it finally had run its course.
When I first started doing this, I started with the Jackson Next Gen, and it seemed to me like I ended up having three of them in a row, and it was the same thing every single time. It was the left sensor always went out, and like every single time you'd start, you know, to do your weld, it would shut off on the auto darkening and just blind you completely.
Yeah.
And after I got that, I moved into the, digital elites, and then finally up to the Infinity. And now that I'm at the Infinity, man, like I really dig the headgear. I dig the wide open view. And do you notice that it's kind of like, it's not a solid, green when you're looking through the auto darkener, it's almost kind of got that goldish tint to it.
Yeah. And there's, it gets a little lighter up at the corners is about the only thing I've noticed, but, It's a nice mix. It's not a full amber, but I've really enjoyed using it.
What part of the welding industry are you into right now? Like what do you do at your day job?
My day job, it is food grade packaging equipment, conveyors, a lot of stainless guards, sheet metal work like that.
Mm-hmm.
All for, majority of it's stuff that nobody's ever going to see.
Right. Is this all like magnetic conveyors and stuff?
No, belt driven conveyors. And then a lot of the aluminum stuff I do is all drive rollers. And then a lot of stuff that gets machined afterwards for tolerances. And then we do some, you know, of course, being Missouri, we do a lot of work for subsidies of Monsanto and different things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly just food grade, packaging equipment, not a, you know, nothing real fancy.
So what is so what's your basic setup? I mean, you just are you running running gas lens, or are you, do you try to
running a 3/32 tungsten with a gas lens, FUPA 12 and WP20 torch on an old mid 90s Lincoln square wave.
So what does Dabs Wellington do when he's not making sick ass art and posting it on Instagram, or going to your day job? What is something that you know, you do on your spare time?
Chasing my daughter around.
Right on, man.
Yeah, she keeps me rather busy. I've got a 7-year-old that is quite a maniac. So we do she's Daddy's little princess, but she likes to get out. We do a lot of hiking, Elephant Rock around here. You know, there's a lot of good state parks, very local, you know, within an hour drive. So we like to do a lot of outdoorsy country stuff. She is very curious about, my work and welding and stuff like that. So, you know, look out. She might be under a hood here soon.
That's cool, man. I'm expecting my first. My first daughter, coming up here on Halloween, and awesome. I have that conversation with my girlfriend too. Like, I'm like, I can't wait to teach her how to weld. I really hope she wants to learn how to weld. This is something I really hope she wants to know how to do.
Yeah, she gets a kick out of it. I mean, you know, of course, I'd say, you know, at least half, if not more, of my stuff goes directly to her. You know, a lot of the cartoon characters and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Are you know, Nintendo figures and stuff that I do are heavily influenced by her. So, you know, it's a neat way to show her the fun, exciting part of, you know, a job that can get tedious and boring, you know? Mm-hmm.
So speaking of kids and this next generation, the whole point of this show really is to kind of, you know, get this next generation into, you know, welding, the blue collar trades in general, but welding more specifically.
Absolutely.
As a piece of advice to, you know, someone that may be looking into the trades, or, you know, like we were saying, more specifically welding, what would be something that you could, what would be a piece of advice that you would give someone looking to join the trade and get under the hood?
I don't know. My, you know, my training was pretty unconventional. I wouldn't recommend, coming up the way I did. I mean, it worked out great. I learned basically ass backwards from, anyone that's got conventional training, which does have its benefits. But, I know I've had a number of, new kids coming up, that I've been training, you know, that have gone the Tulsa welding school route, you know, I mean, it's a fun career. I mean, it beats the hell out of a cubicle.
Oh, hell yeah, it does, man.
You know, I mean, and I said there's some good kids coming out of weld school, you know, and I'm sure my company that I work for isn't alone. You know, there's a lot of guys, a lot of the, you know, like you said, the old hats are retiring, and we're looking for a lot of young help.
That's true. That's true.
And not a large pool to pull from, you know. So it's definitely an area of growth, and you know, you can get burnt out on it, but I still I still have quite a bit of fun.
Yeah, I do too, man. Like the way that I look at it is that it's, you know, it's an honest living. It is something that you are going to earn, though. That's the thing I think that people really tend to pull the satisfaction from this job, is that everything that you have bought or paid for from this job, you have earned every cent of that. And I think when you kind of sit back at the end of the day and realize what you've done all from welding or with anything that you've, you know, built with your hands, is that it's that satisfaction that I don't see getting it from anything other than a building trade or anything of that kind of, occupation.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't know any other. It's all I've ever done besides flip hamburgers.
Right. Yeah. I've done the ladder too, man. And this is way better.
It's better than any Big Mac I ever built.
Right. Awesome. Sean, man, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it, taking your time. And it was a lot of fun, man. And hopefully we'll have you back on sometime soon, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's it for this week, everybody. Thank you so very much for listening. Huge thanks to my guests this week, Don from Southern Colorado Hats and Sean Floatman, a.k.a. Dabs Wellington. Make sure to go on Instagram and give them a follow. If you would like a backlog of Art Junkies episodes, you can go to www.artjunkies.com. Feel free to email the show, artjunkies@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you and get your feedback. Also, make sure to subscribe on iTunes. And while you do, leave a review of the show. Your reviews help our iTunes ranking and help the show get noticed more and reach more people. Again, thank you so very much for the support. And until next week, weld hard.